Thank you, Ms. Clark. Thank you, Brother Hector, as well. Amen. He's been playing the piano for us this morning. It is so good to have, I'll just say, a lot of hands. I see a lot of visitors with us, but a lot of you are family, visiting family, and we also have family in, and it's good to have grandbabies visit. Amen. I'm sure everybody has enjoyed that. But all of you that grew up here, like Brother Hector and others that are visiting with us, or this feels like home, welcome home. We just want you to feel that way every time you come back. We love you. We appreciate you coming and visiting with us and being here when you're in town. Let me encourage you. I missed this when I did the announcements. We have these devotionals and the new year's upon us. And so it starts with the very first day of the year. And so if you don't have something that you use to be in the Bible on a daily basis, I encourage you to get these. They're back there. I was reminded again, we've been doing that for 10 years now, and it's a blessing. And so if you haven't started it, we'd love you to get started with us anytime, but it is something the Lord allowed us to do. And we believe the best way for you to grow in the Lord is to be in the book, amen, be in the Bible on a daily basis. So I encourage you to do that. It is my blessing today to have one of my friends, Pastor Parker. You make your way if you would. He is pastoring the Palm Gardens Baptist Church down south of us a little ways, but we recently had a man come and plant a church in Nashville. This brother is planting, again, he's got a burden right in the center of the town. A lot of people want to plant outside. It's easier to build something outside of where people, the center of everybody is. And so you pray for him this year. God will give him a building. They're looking to get a building and want to have a building. And so how many of you will pray for Pastor Parker? He's somebody who supported our college, sent the bulk of his kids to be here at our college, and then sent one to marry my son. Appreciate you, brother.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the Lord's house this morning. Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, listen, what a blessing it is to be in God's house, and I'm grateful for the family here at Landmark Baptist Church. You always make us feel so welcome as though we're a part of the family here. And that being said, I know that the amount of time I take preaching might affect my love offering, because that means the preacher can't play with his grandkids as much today. But I say that jokingly, but what a blessing. I was able to talk to my daughter before I got here. I sent her a text and I said, you know, pray for me, I'll be preaching. And let Royal know we're going to miss him this morning. He goes, Royal is very upset because he's not going to see you in church this morning. Royal is my grandson. Amen. Is our grandson, and he's attached to his grandparents. Amen. So we praise the Lord for that. But we're going to be in the book of 2 Chronicles this morning, and what a pleasure it is, again, to be able to worship with you this morning. So grateful for Dr. Mickey Carter and his ministry and his faithfulness, and just amazes me how he continues to carry on preaching the word like he does, and what a blessing he is and an inspiration. And I just pray that the word of God will do its work as it is presented this morning. I was grateful for what Dr. Carter taught in Sunday school. He mentioned John 12:27, which says, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say, Father? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. And it tied in a little bit with the idea and the theme of what I'll be presenting this morning, which has to do with being minded to do something for Jesus. Being minded to do something for Jesus. Now, I know we've all had intentions in the past to serve the Lord, but we really need to get a mindset, because this world needs a bunch of Spirit-filled believers to get the Word of God to them so they can be saved. Are you with me? And it's going to take people that are minded to do that and prepared. Not just be the Pharisee that can say everything that should be done, but be the actual individual that gets the job done and does the work, amen? Everybody likes to know everything you should do, and they're proud to be able to say things to do, but it takes the person that's willing to do it that gets it done, amen? So I'm going to open up our Bibles, if you would, 2 Chronicles chapter 24, and this, of course, is the story of Joash, and Joash, you know, was hidden away for 6 years as Athaliah was out trying to secure her place in ruling. And she murdered all the previous king's sons, and he was squandered away and hidden for 6 years. And then in the seventh year, he was brought out. And Joash is known for doing something special. And so in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, I want you to, if you would, to look at verse 2. And it says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him two wives and begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hastened it not. So again, we're introduced here to Joash, and he began to reign at the tender age of 7 years old. And the fact that his mother's name was given here is a great tribute. She must have had some good influence on his life. Praise the Lord for good mothers. Now, good mothers aren't always the sweetest mothers, but they're the mothers that hold your feet to the fire, that make things happen to get them done. Are you with me? And I like my mother was very sweet. I appreciate my mother. But when it got to a point where she had to raise her voice, you stood back with your eyes wide open and said, I didn't know she could do that. And that really straightened things out when she got upset. But looking at this, we see this great honor is recorded of this king. When it is written in verse 2, it says, and Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That's what I want to do this morning. How about you? I want to do what's right in the sight of God. I have ideas that I'd like to do for God, but it doesn't matter what I'd like to do for God. I want to do what is right for God. Are you with me? So let's pray and ask for God's blessing as we look at minded to do something for Jesus. Father, we love you. We're thankful for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God this morning. Thank you for the privilege being here in the house of God, worshiping with God's people. Once again, lifting up the name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Thank you for his example in life and in death. And help us, Lord, as we seek your word, that the Spirit of God would open our hearts and minister to us the truths that will help us to be more like him today. We love and thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you for your gift of eternal life. And we pray if there be a lost soul in here today, that the most important they can do is give their life to Jesus Christ today. Accept him as their Savior. Lord, we love and thank you for eternal life. Thank you for the gift of love that you've shown us and for the precious word of God. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Amen. So as we look here in our text, the word of God says that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And thank God for someone who's minded to do something for the Lord. Amen. These days, it's like people just want to watch somebody do something for the Lord rather than participate in the actual work aspect. Are you with me? Joash wanted to get something done that the priests were not making sure that the priests were not getting done for the Lord. Amen. And it's a shame when the house of God was falling in shambles. And it bothered a seven-year-old king. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that a seven-year-old king saw something that was in great need, and it was that the house of God was in disrepair. And so he began to push these priests and get them involved in preparing to make it so that they can get everything in order and the way it should be done, and so it could be presentable and it should be reverence, a place of reverence. I come to the house of God. I know this is just a building, but when I walk in this building, it's not just any building. This is God's house. This is where we assemble together. This is where we come apart from the world so we don't fall apart. Are you with me? And we come with the desire to not only hear something from heaven, but also to honor him with our lips and our hearts and our lives. To just set apart everything else from life, to give him an hour of our time to honor and lift up the name of Jesus, our Savior, as a people assembled together. Amen? And so as we look at this, I'm glad that we have an example like Joash. But like all who are minded to do something for the Lord, the battle sometimes comes with temptation. And if you're not minded to do something for God, what will happen is sometimes you will suffer the consequences of acting on temptation. Are you with me? And the last thing we want to do, all of us are tempted at some point in some way, in some manner. I believe that old sleuthfoot, the devil, he sets out his minions to watch you and look for your weaknesses. I believe he studies you. He knows man very well, and he knows that every man has weakness. Every woman has weakness. And once they find that weakness, they begin to exploit that weakness at the time when you are least suspecting of it at most. Amen? And so if you're going to do something for God, we need to be minded and be aware that when you get determined, the devil is your enemy. He's going to do everything he can to trip you up, to discourage you, to stop you before you even get the horse out of the barn, so to speak. Amen. So look at me, look with me at these sobering truths that we see here. Number one, the king minded to start. If you're minded to do something for God, you gotta get started. Amen. Get started. Don't say, I'm gonna do it on my birthday. I'm gonna do it on Resurrection Day. I'm gonna start the first of the year with my New Year's resolution. It's time to start today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get busy serving God. Are you with me? And look at verse 4, it says, and it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And so we see this was a commendable act on the part of the king. He was minded. He was minded to do that which is right in the sight, in God's sight. Now, the action, when you take the action and you have that sense of beginning and you're in your heart and mind, you're ready to step out and begin something, you've got to put action to that thought. It's one thing to think it. It's another thing to implement it. Amen? And so as you look and as you put that action into play, it'll turn your mind towards the house of God. That'll be a reaction. As you begin to serve God and as you begin to put into action those things which need to be done in your life that God has laid on your heart to be obedient to, what's going to happen is it's going to bring about a reaction of a deeper sense of the peace of God and favor of God on your life. I guarantee you, my friend, anybody who's been minded to serve God has not done it feeling lonely and as though God's far from them. But when you're determined and you're minded to serve God, he begins to draw himself closer. You know why? Because when you're minded to serve God, you're drawing nigh to God. And when you draw nigh to God, what happens? God draws nigh to you. And so this is we're coming to the end of the year, and this is a good time to begin to think about setting our hearts and minds upon doing something that God wants to be done this coming year. So let's put this in perspective and think about it. Joash wanted to do something for the place of worship. And when you are doing right in the sight of God, you can't help but be concerned and interested in the house of God. Part of my willingness to do and obey God involves being at the house of God, fellowshipping with God's people. Not just for the sake of being seen among them, but listen, I don't know about you, but I like to hold up the arms of other believers. I like to hold up the arms of the preacher. Very thankful for your pastor. He's been an inspiration and a great blessing to me and my family. And whether I'm at our church there in Port St. Lucie, Florida, or whether I'm here, I'm a part of God's family, and I'm excited that we have assembled together for worship today. Because he saved me. He changed my life. And because he changed my life, I want to be minded to serve him. And every believer ought to have that same inset, not just that same mindset, not just because you're a preacher, but because you're saved. You should have the same mindset of wanting to do something for God. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. Don't have to be an evangelist. But you certainly can be a communicator of the Word of God. And you can show a love for the souls of men, for the lost and saved alike. Amen. Some people don't love the saved. I've seen some people that come along and they'll show a love for the lost, but they could care less about the brethren. Well, what are the fruit of the Spirit? And part of the command of God is that we love one another. And I love coming to the house of God, coming to another church and feeling that sense of love. Amen. I appreciate that. That concern, that interest that comes about being here at the house of God is something that is special. And Joash had a heart for the house of God and for God's people. Now, something we need to realize is that, number two, the devil is minded to stop it. He's minded to stop it. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter with me, if you would. Chapter 24, verse 17. The scripture says, now after the death of Jehoiada, came the princes of Judah and made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. And wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this, their trespasses. Now the king here didn't recognize this act as being wrong, but hearkened unto these people that came along to acknowledge the death of this priest. And here he didn't have his guard up, so to speak. Are you with me? In being minded to do something for God, he had to be careful not to be swerved out of God's will by even those that he was affectionate for, that he loved, or that he appreciated. And that showed appreciation for him. Sometimes, not everybody that tries to come and show me appreciation always is going to have the best of intentions for me. Are you all with me? And we just got to be aware, got to keep our guard up. That's why we're to follow Jesus, amen? That's why we keep our eyes fixed upon him. Now looking here, we see that it says they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers and served groves and idols. Now the devil doesn't come dressed up in a red suit with horns, you know, with his identification all over him. But unfortunately, we know he's described as being beautiful. He's subtle. He doesn't make himself widely known most of the time. He comes in a sneaky manner. And he used these other people that came along to influence this dear king to go in the wrong direction. And unfortunately, it seems as though he went the wrong way, didn't he? He went to the groves to worship. But like those who came to the king in obeisance, the devil comes in cunning ways to sidetrack the child of God. And you may be influenced by those that you think are the best Christians in the church. And the first thing you know, you can lose your confidence in the church. My goal is not to be associated with those who I think are the best Christians in the church. My goal is to be as close to Jesus as I possibly can. I love those that are have the same motive as I have, that want to be walking with Jesus as close as they can, and they're minded to do the same sort of things as I'm minded to do. But the most important thing for me to do and for you to do is walk with Jesus, amen? It's not to develop the friendships that will gain me notoriety in the congregation, right? Are you all with me on this? Well, you may be influenced by those you think are the best Christians in a church, but if you're not careful, you could lose confidence in the church if you get your eyes on building those relationships instead of building your relationship with Jesus, amen? And you too then will stop as Joash did. Number three, I want you to see not only was Joash minded to do something for God, not only was the devil minded to stop it, but God was minded to settle it. Now this is where it gets serious. Look at verse 24 of your Bible this morning. For the army of the Syrians came with a small company of men, and the Lord delivered a very great host into their hand, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers, so they executed judgment against Joash. Now look at what the result was. He started out minded to do something for God. The devil got involved, he stopped it, and then God had to take and settle it. Are you with me? God permitted this foolishness to go just so far, and then he stopped it and settled the problem. You notice that in this context here, that there was a small company of men that battled and took over a great host of men. Number has nothing to do with the ability to accomplish something for God. Now you would think, as many people as we have in the auditorium this morning, that we should be able to turn Haines City upside down. But not everybody is minded the way some others are. But if we could get every person a part of the family of God here at Landmark Baptist Church minded like the preacher is to see souls saved and to dedicate in all seriousness, setting our lives apart, being holy, sanctified for the purpose of God's use, we'd see Haines City just be transformed. But thank God for not the idea that everybody has to do it, but thank God for the few that are doing it this morning. You're here because there are some that are minded to do what it takes to serve God. And I'll get a little bit more a little bit more precise on that as we go along here. Now, we see it was the judgment for the man who was minded to do something for the house of God. This judgment, this score that was settled because Joash did the wrong thing. And a lot of God's people are living this kind of dangerous life. They started out minded to do something for God. They had the best of intentions of going forward with God, but then they got sidetracked. They got distracted. The things of life began to cumber them about. Their finances became more important. Their families became more important. Their entertainment became more important. Are you with me? And all of these things brought about judgment. And I still believe that God judges people today. Oh, preacher, we're not under judgment. Wait a minute. Sure you do. You sin. There's built-in judgment in those sins. Now, my sin may be forgiven, but my decisions come with a consequence. And if you're saved, don't get the idea you can just now go and do what you want. Because if you go and do what you want, doing what you want will have consequences. I assure you of that if you're saved, because he chastens his own. But the idea is that we will not allow ourselves to be distracted from being minded to do what God has called us to do as believers. You at one time may have been minded to do something for the Lord. You had a vision. You realized the need. You were doing something until something sidetracked you. And you know, it usually begins, preacher, with not making it on a Sunday morning. Well, you know, this got in my way. I just was overtired. I wouldn't have been able to pay attention. You know how many times I've heard, if I came to church in that condition, I just wouldn't have been able to get anything out of the service. Well, you didn't get anything out of the service by staying home either. Come on down to the house of God, amen, and sit there and just, you'll be amazed at what God is able to do when you feel inept and not able to give the attention and the heed to what God wants for you. God will take care of that part. You just do your part in showing up. Be minded to be faithful. Be at the house of God. Study the Word of God. Don't put your Bible aside at the end of the day. Well, I'm too tired. I've had too long of a day. I'm not going to study it tonight. I'll catch up on it tomorrow. No, be minded to be faithful. Study the Word of God like you have decided you were originally. Are you with me? It's important to stay faithful on your devotions and these practices that we do for the Lord. Amen. But we don't want God to have to settle the problem for us, amen? Now look back at our text. If you look back at it again, saved by the grace of God, we ought to be minded to do something for the Lord Jesus. And here are some things that I want to be minded to do for Jesus in this coming year. Number one, I want to be minded to show my love for him more. You know, often I found myself, and you may too, as a Christian, going to your knees and calling upon God for your needs and for the needs of others. But what about being more mindful and just appreciating and showing him your love more in your prayer life? With the lips that you use to help others and to share the word of God, what about giving him praise and glory? What about showing him more appreciation this coming year? Be minded to give him the praise that he's worthy of. Be more thoughtful in living a Christian's life of gratitude. Are you with me? I think gratitude is very lacking in the Christian life these days. We don't appreciate things like we once did. You know, I'm thinking about Peter this morning. Three times Jesus presented this question to the Apostle Peter. Remember, he said, "Lovest thou me?" Three simple words. And three times Peter said, "Thou knowest that I love thee." And I'm sure that he did, but he needed Peter to get something deep rooted in his heart. The reason Jesus asked him three times, we could apply it to the idea that it was three times that he had denied him. So he took it one more step, didn't he? He took it one more step. And what he did, he asked him that fourth time, and Simon Peter responded with the words, "Thou knowest that I love thee, Jesus." Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know that he wants us to be consecrated in the idea and understanding how important it is to be in love with him all of the time? Not something to be on the back burner of your mind and heart, but every day expressing with a determined spirit how much you love him, not only by your words, but with your actions. Part of our Christian experience is showing him that we love him, not just giving him the lip service. And how do we show him that we love him? We obey him. We obey him. Simon Peter, he showed his love for Jesus. And after this, his ministry really took on a character of his own. His faithfulness to preach, we found thousands were saved. He developed a great passion, didn't he? It was the commencing of his ministry and service to the Lord. Thou knowest I love thee. Feed my lambs. So he began to preach and thousands were saved. We also saw that his refusal to give up in persecution caused multitudes to marvel. He was determined to do whatever it took in spite of the consequences that he was facing to be faithful. It wasn't like when he had denied him three times. Now he was minded to do something for Jesus. And he was faithful. He didn't have to worry about turning back on him now, did he? He loved the Lord. His willingness to die for Christ left a burning testimony that has never gone out. Now, it's easy to say that I love Jesus or give our same old testimony, follow our same old routines that we do. But this year, I want to be minded to go further. I want to be minded to show my love for him. Not only by the words that I speak, but by my actions and the things that I know he wants for me to do as a believer. And that's what he wants for you too. I want to show him that I love him when the work is heavy, when it's overwhelming, when it seems impossible that I can't get it done. But that is where the Lord steps in and blesses the believer to do the work that seems to be insurmountable. He steps in and he blesses. He provides the need of energy, the finances, the will, and the strength to do what we're challenged to do when it comes to the work. I want to show him I love him when the way is hard. I always had the idea that becoming a pastor was going to be a cakewalk. And I don't mean that in a sense. I meant like I was just going to study and preach the word and everybody was going to get saved and things were going to go right. And sure, there'd be a few problems here and there. But you know, I found that the way is difficult. The way is hard. It's challenging. Not only because of other people, but more so because of myself. I'm my biggest own problem, believe it or not. As little as I am, I'm a big problem. Got water here. Thank the Lord for this Fiji water. Amen. But I want to show him not only that I love him when the work is heavy and when the way is hard, but I want to show him that I love him when the world is hindering. And I've heard that the city has gone after the church a little bit here and there and has made life a little bit tough for the preacher and the maintenance crew and things of that nature. But I'm glad that there's a determined people here that are not going to allow that kind of thing to get them discouraged and that they'll just take the bull by the horn, so to speak. Amen. And when the world's trying to hinder the work that we're trying to get done by tying up us on the non-essentials of the city, but I'm glad that there are those who are determined to not let the world hinder them. And what about you? What about you? What about those times when you've been asked to step aside from going to church to help somebody else, and you say, well, I'll make it a good work to do this instead of going to church. I think we can be drawn away by doing those sort of things. Are you with me? Better be very careful. When you start missing out on church, the devil will have you helping everybody keep you out of church. But as we look at this and we see, I want to love him more. When the work is heavy, when the way is hard, when the world is hindering to me. And I found that the older I get, the more hindering the world is to me. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. But number two, I want to be minded to share my knowledge of him. I want to be minded to share my knowledge of him. That's something you ought to concern yourselves with this coming year. Let's share our knowledge of who Jesus is. If you've been saved, do you know who he is? He's a part of your everyday life. Now we've got to be willing to speak about it, to declare it, to share it, and to get others involved in the goodness that you've experienced by showing them all that you know about how much he loves mankind, and that he's willing to die for their sins. The Apostle Paul said that I might know him. Thank God I do know him as my own personal Savior this morning, the best friend I ever had and one who has never left me nor forsaken me. I try to be the best friend I can be to my wife. She is the most important best friend I have. Are you with me? I don't have buddies that take the position of being my best friend. My wife is my best friend. And it would be out of order for anybody else to take that position as best friend. But most of all, you know who is my best friend? The Lord Jesus Christ. And I wouldn't do my wife right if I wasn't being the best friend of Jesus as I could be as he is to me. Are you with me? You got what I said there? There's so much that I know about him and that I want to share. I know that he loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know the world is our enemy, so to speak, but Christ died to save the world. And he wants them to have that hope and that message just like you got it one day. He wants to offer that pardon because his blood was shed for them as much as it was shed for me and as much as it was shed for you. And he wants us to be motivated to declare that. I want to be motivated and minded to declare that more this coming year. Whether I give out more gospel tracts, whether I give my testimony, or whether I just share with somebody who looks a little downtrodden. Look for those opportunities. Be minded to look for those doors to be open. Scripture says in John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, laying down your life doesn't necessarily mean just dying for your friends, but laying aside the things of your life for them. Making them an important part of your life and wanting to share or help them with knowing who Jesus is. It's going to take sacrifice. You're going to have to give up some things if you're going to show the world how much Jesus loves them. You're going to have to deny yourselves. Take up your cross and follow him. Number four, I know that he saves the worst. I know that he saves the worst. I'm one of those who are the worst. God saved me, he can save anybody. That's how I see it. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm not a Calvinist. Whosoever. That means the worst of the worst, no matter what family they are a part of, no matter who they are, they're all of a descendant of Adam, therefore they qualify to be a whosoever. That hear the gospel, that hear the word of God, that could change their eternal existence when they leave this world. I know that he also assures the weakest. Not only does he, do I know that he loves the world, not only do I know that he saves the worst, but I know he assures the weakest. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I don't know about you, but as a Christian, sometimes I get troubled at my thought life. The things that spring out of my old Adamic nature that come up, and it can become very discouraging. I would pray and I said, God, just take that old thing away. Get it out of my way. But what I find as I battle that part of my life, that new heart that I've been giving draws me to a place of consecrating myself before him and relying on him more to control my thought life. Are you with me? I know, does that shock you that you have bad thoughts and things that rise out of your heart? You still have a wicked heart. That's what Jeremiah tells us. And that wicked heart's going to continue to the day you die. Once you die, then you won't be troubled by that old wicked heart anymore. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Looking forward to that day. Amen. I know that he supplies not only that, but he supplies the wanting. He'll supply the wanting in our life. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll give you the want. Now, look, I said I wanted to be minded, and I'm trying to set an idea that we need to get our mind set upon being faithful and serving God. What is it that God wants me to do as a challenge to myself this year? How can I be more faithful? What can I remove from my life to give Jesus more of my life? In order for him to have more of your life, you're going to have to remove some things out of your life. Are you with me? Less football, less race cars, less fishing, less, it may take some of that. None of those are bad within themselves. But if I'm going to allow myself to be minded to serve my God more faithfully and with more of a determination, there's going to have to be some things that go this year. And maybe that'll be something that you consider during your watch night service. God, what can I cut back on where I can have you take up that space in my life? Beloved, we have a reason to share the knowledge of Jesus today. We should want every sinner to know what he means to us. And lastly, I want to be minded to secure my hope in him. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Aren't you glad today you don't have to be concerned about whether or not you're going to go to heaven once you've been saved? That there is an anchor of your soul, and he reveals that fact to you. Even in your miserable failures, he then reminds you that you're his child and everything's going to be okay. That he'll allow you to be reconciled to him again in a right fashion, in a right relationship when you confess your sin to him. I'm glad that he's the anchor of my soul. I don't have to worry about my soul any longer. I know where my soul is going because of what he's done. And everything I am and where I'm going is all based upon the precious work of Jesus Christ, my Savior. It's not that I have faith strong enough to keep me anchored. I don't. But what I do is I know what Jesus has said, and I know that he bears witness to my soul that I am his and he is mine. I want to be minded to serve him this year. I want to be minded to give myself to him. Beloved, we've come too far to quit loving Jesus now. Things will get sometimes and you'll go through a dry place in your Christian life. And boy, it's terrible when you get to that place and you just can't seem to get anything out of the preaching. Not the preacher's fault. Can't seem to get anything out of the singing. Not the singer's fault. The church becomes a difficulty for you, almost a chore to be there. Those times will come sometimes in the Christian experience, but I want to tell you, my friend, you have come too far to turn back now. Don't give up. Don't give in. Be minded to be faithful. Be in the house of God. Keep coming and keep looking and keep asking him to minister and to meet the need of your soul. And I guarantee you there will be a time of refreshing because he is faithful. He is the faithful one. Amen. I like to think of that soul, that song. The haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. There's nothing in the world that I really have need of. What I need is more of Jesus. Amen. What I need is more obedience to him. What I have need of is to have his blessing in my life. That comes through obedience. The anchor has held me through many a storms in life. I've been through quite a few. Many tragedies have come and gone. And I assume there's going to be more tragedies that will come my way from you. And you, most of you already know, my wife's heart stopped for almost 30 minutes. And that was one of those things. Boy, he was an anchor. He helped me through those times. He helped my wife through those times. An amazing experience it is to go through a very difficult and dark hour and then experience the love and grace of God that he provides in those very desperate times. That's where he shows up the most. And you can be sure that there's something waiting around the corner for you, but don't you worry about what's around the corner, because when that comes in your life and you have Jesus, he'll be there waiting to give you the comfort and the hope that you need. He's minded to help you this morning. Let's be minded to help him as we serve him faithfully. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. Help us now as we have the time of invitation. May the Spirit of God move upon our hearts, reveal in us, Lord, that need, that weakness, maybe those areas of life that we can sacrifice a little more of so you can take up more residence in our daily practices. We love you, and we're so grateful for the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. If there be a lost soul in here today, I pray that they would be minded to give their life to Christ, not wait another day, another hour, another minute, another second, but to instantly obey as the Spirit of God beckons them to come, that they might be saved. I pray they'd obey that. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this coming year. Bless us as we begin the new challenge of 2026. And may we be minded to serve you more faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Preacher.
Stand to our feet. The musicians have made their way into place. Maybe you're here this morning and the message being more minded to serve the Lord. Maybe it spoke to you as a Christian. You want to do business with God. The altar is open for you to come. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Would you let us take a Bible and show you how you can begin that relationship with Jesus Christ by putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ? As Brother Burt sings, would you step out and come?